Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Shouldn't come as a surprise that we're in Romans 12 again. We're actually going to be here for a few more weeks because there are a lot of exhortations here that are very helpful for us. Romans chapter 12 in verse 12, we're looking at the last phrase there, the last clause, I guess you could say. Devoted to prayer. Let me again just read a little bit of the context beginning in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now again, we're going to be looking at Romans 12, verse 12, particularly that one clause, devoted to prayer. Now again, Paul has told us that Christ living inside of us, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, is going to make a difference in the way that we live, as we saw this morning in the adult Sunday school class. The Christian life is not a series of rules of do's and don'ts that you do this and then you're a Christian, you do this and then God will accept you, but rather it's a transformation that God produces in your life. God sends His Holy Spirit into you, He plugs you into Jesus Christ, and then the fruits of these things flow out of that faith which the Lord produces in your life. Christ in us makes a difference, and Paul is talking about some of those differences. It cleanses our hearts. It makes our love to be pure. It makes our love to be a holy kind of love. It's a love that works itself out of our hearts towards one another so that we love one another as family. It is a love that spurs us on in our devotion to the Lord and in our service to Him so that we become active servants and not just passively sitting on the gospel train headed toward heaven. In short, its effect is to transform us into that same image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect example of what we are to be. Paul says it also changes our outlook on life. It changes the things that we look at and the way we look at things. It turns our thoughts away from the things on earth and turns them toward heaven. Remember, causes us to rejoice in that hope that we have of heaven, that one day we're going to be there. It gives us the strength to keep moving forward no matter what difficulty we have to face. Now, again, it doesn't mean that if Christ is living in us, all these things will be happening perfectly and that we won't have struggles or difficulties, that our weakness of flesh, our tiredness, our illness, or whatever it may be, won't affect us. We know that it does affect us a great deal. But it does mean that these changes will be there, great or small, and it'll be our job, as we'll see, to nurture those things and to make them grow. Our Lord actually reminds us this morning that even though the Lord has come to dwell within our hearts, that there is still a part that we have to play, something that we have to do in order to strengthen those things that He has actually put there. This love that we have for the Lord, this love that we have for each other, even though it is present in our hearts, will not grow by itself, will not increase on its own. Even as our ability to use the gifts that God has given to us also will not improve themselves. our strength, our fervency in our obedience does not grow on its own. And even the hope that we rejoice in, that keeps us moving forward in all of our adversities, is not going to grow automatically. There is something that we must do, something that gives life to everything that we do, to the spiritual life that's inside of us, and that brings God's blessings down upon everything that we do. And obviously you know the answer to what that thing is. We've already been talking about it this morning. It is prayer. It's interesting that God has so ordered things in this life that we're really unable to do what it is we're supposed to do, what it is God calls us to do, unless we take advantage of this thing called prayer. Prayer is what brings God's blessing down. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't going to do anything in us or anything in this world unless we pray. But just look at your own experience. Whenever you've been faced with a particular task, difficulty, decision, whatever it may be, look at the difference between setting your heart to seek the Lord in prayer and not doing so. Look at the difference in the outcome of what it is you attempt. You know that when you seek God's help, God gives you that help. We need to pray. Now, doubtless, the Lord through this wants to remind us that we are utterly dependent upon Him for everything good in our lives, for everything that will come from our lives that is good. That outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot do anything good by ourselves. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Paul reminds us, in Christ, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The Bible says the Spirit plugs us into Jesus Christ as a sovereign act, and His life begins to flow through us. But that life of Christ flows through us more or less depending on how much we seek Him in prayer, how much we seek Him and His grace. Now, this is simply to say that prayer is a means of grace. It is one way of getting the Spirit's help. But it is the most readily accessible means that God has given to us. And we'll see that it's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to pray. More than that, He wants us to devote ourselves to prayer so that we will be equipped to do what it is God calls us all to do. Now, this morning, what I want us to consider is simply these three things. Three things. What prayer is. Okay, I think that's the simplest question. Why we are to pray, and most importantly, how we are to pray, according to what Paul tells us this morning. Now, first of all, what is prayer? You know, it's funny, when we were not Christians, when we were out in the world somewhere, we needed instruction in how to pray. We needed to learn the basics. And even now, as mature Christians, we're still learning things about prayer all the time, aren't we? Especially the thing we're going to be exhorted to last, and that is how often we ought to pray. Because we often find ourselves not taking advantage of this wonderful blessing the Lord has given to us. But what is prayer? I don't think... I believe a little bit of review is not going to hurt any of us. Prayer, most simply put, is simply talking to God. It is communicating with Him. It's like talking to one another, except it's different because He is God. You know, we don't often think about it, but whenever the disciples were speaking to Jesus, they were actually praying in a certain way, weren't they? Because they were speaking with God in human flesh. Now, it is talking with God, but there are some differences, and we'll see those differences below, or at least we'll see them following. Prayer is speaking to God, but it is speaking to God about different things. For instance, it's telling Him how much we love Him and how much we admire Him. When we think about prayer, where does your mind go to in the Scriptures? But the Psalms, right? Psalms are full of prayers and full of examples of how we ought to pray. Now, when the Lord delivered David from Saul, he said this to the Lord, and this was a prayer. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. When was the last time you prayed like that? You know, we think about our prayers, we compare them to the Psalms, and they're not nearly as rich as the Psalms. Now, we realize, of course, that the Psalms are inspired by God, and of course, that adds a certain level of quality to them. But they are also the prayers of men. David was a man, right? These were his words. And we can pray these words, and we ought to at least be expressing these sentiments. Look at his expression of love and adoration to the Lord. When we pray, we should express our hearts to the Lord, our love that we have for Him, or sadly, in some cases, the lack of love that we have for Him. Maybe that's something we need to confess to Him in sin. And that's the second thing that we need to do. We need to tell Him also when we talk to Him, when we pray to Him, how sorry we are for doing things that offend Him, for not obeying Him, or for disobeying Him. And we all know we have plenty of those things. David did as well. David writes in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." When we pray to the Lord, we should express our love to him. We should express our admiration for what God has done for us and for who he is, and worship him. But we should also confess our sins to the Lord, because we know we have offended this God who is our God. Prayer is also telling God how much we appreciate everything that he has done for us. You know, God does things for us every day. Things that we know we have prayed for, and he answers those prayers. Things that we haven't even prayed for, and he's giving us those good things anyway. God is a good God, and we need to thank him for those things. David writes in Psalm 30, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." Now, you know how it is when you do something nice for somebody and they don't thank you. They don't even acknowledge what you've done. You know how you feel when that happens? You feel slighted, don't you? How does God feel when he opens up heaven and blesses us every day and we don't thank him? Well, God feels slighted and also dishonored. The Lord would have us to thank him, to show our gratitude to him. The psalmist writes in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 7, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord at his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant. O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." So prayer is expressing love to God and admiration. Love or prayer is expressing our repentance of our sins, that we haven't done what God has called us to do, and that we've done many things he has told us not to do. Prayer is also showing God and expressing to God our thanks for what he has done. But prayer obviously is also asking God for additional help. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me." Bible says that if we want help from God, we need to ask Him. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Sometimes we're struggling with wisdom for a particular decision and we don't know the answer, and often we find it's because we haven't asked God. We haven't asked for His help. And we bow before Him and we ask and He gives us the answer. Why did I see it before? God has the ability to do that. We are dependent upon God for these things. And so we need to seek Him. So we love Him, we adore Him, we confess our sins, we thank Him, and we ask Him for different things. Now remember, too, that prayer is also something that is not something that has to be forced out of the Christian, except that we have an adversary. We have sin inside of us trying to stop us because we know that it seems to have a mind of its own. But it knows that if we seek the Lord in prayer, it's going to get weaker and the grace within us is going to get stronger, and so it's going to do everything it can to keep us out of prayer. So there is a battle that goes on. But on the other hand, prayer is as natural to the Christian as breath is to a living being. Because prayer is the breath of the spiritual man, as it were, breathing out to God. We know that things are alive when they breathe. Eat, breathe, and excrete, you know, is the term that's usually used in science. Well, we know that we are spiritually alive when we breathe. You know, we breathe to the Lord when we pray to Him. Because it is the Spirit within us moving us to seek communion with God, to spend time with Him, to speak with Him, and even to listen to Him as He speaks to us in His Word. And so that is why, or I should say that is how, really, we ought to pray. That's what really what prayer is. What is prayer? It's many different things, but it really is the expression of our spirit as the Spirit of God moves us to commune with God and with our risen Savior. Well, let's look now at why we are to pray. Well, I think most obviously because God commands us to pray. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Pray without ceasing." Sounds familiar. Devote yourselves to prayer. Jesus was frequently telling His disciples to pray. There are certain things that come only through prayer, as we've seen. So we need to pray. Now remember that everything that God commands, He commands for a reason. And it's always a good reason. And the more we do this, the more we're going to benefit from it. You know, oftentimes we look at something, when somebody says, do this, our first reaction is, I don't want to do that, because somebody's telling me I've got to do it. But whenever God says, do this, it always has a good result. And His reason for doing it is not only, or having us do it, is not only because it's right, but because the benefit that we're going to get from it, and also the work that God is going to bring about through it. There's always a good reason God commands us to do these things. Secondly, we are to do it because it reminds us again of our dependence upon the Lord. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. But again, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. We really are dependent upon the Lord. And He wants us to remember that we are. And prayer is a way of expressing that dependence upon God. So He wants us to pray because it reminds us that we need Him for everything. But also we need to pray because this is the way God has ordained that we receive His help. Now again, we need God's help. We need His grace. We can't function without it. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. A person who is severed from Christ cannot bear fruit, just as a branch severed from the vine cannot bear grapes or any other kind of fruit, right? We need Him. But He has ordained that this is the way that we get it, and there's no other way. This is not something that we can purchase with money. You know, the Roman Church basically says, pay for indulgences, pay for this, pay for that, pay for Mass, or whatever it may be. And if you dole out the money, you're going to get some grace. You're going to get some help. You can't buy it. You can't buy it from the church. And unlike many other things that we get today, you can't find it on the Internet. Right? It's not for sale. You can't get a subscription to it. It's not a living trust that God just sort of doles out at certain times, you know, that certain amounts of money comes to you at a certain age or wherever it may be. The only way you can get it is if you ask. Jesus says, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And James tells us, you don't have because you don't ask. Now, as I've said, this is one of the many ways that God has arranged to give us help. to give us grace. We know those means of grace, what they are. We know that the Word of God, the preaching and the reading of the Word. We know it has to do with the sacraments. We receive grace as we receive the sacraments through faith. It has to do with fellowship. There are different ways that God has ordained, but there is also prayer. And the interesting thing about prayer is that it's the one that is nearer at hand than anything else that we have. It's the one that's closest to us. The one that's most easily accessible. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat after he said, "Lord, command me to come to you." And Jesus has come. So Peter steps out of the boat. He starts walking across the water. But then he began to see the waves and the storm and begins to sink. Suddenly he finds himself in need of the Lord's help. So what does he do? He pulls out his Bible and he begins to read. No. You know, he begins to meditate on his circumcision. No, he doesn't do that either. What he does is he cries out to the Lord. And he says, "Lord, help me." You know, he could have sung a hymn. Now, that wouldn't work either, right? Worship, there's a certain thing to do. And the thing that was readily at hand was prayer. And that was probably one of the shortest, but probably one of the most heartfelt prayers ever prayed. "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached out and saved him. And that's just how easy it is to get the Lord's help. If we need something, we need to pray. So lastly, we need to ask the question, how are we to pray? Well, there's a few things the Lord wants us to be mindful of as we pray. There's a lot of things. Let me just give you a few. First of all, we are to pray humbly. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. We can't demand anything from God. We can only ask humbly. We need to pray in faith, believing. Jesus says, "In all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And of course, we need to ask according to His will. We just can't ask for anything, as we saw this morning. We need to pray trusting in the mediation of Christ. We can't come in our own name. Again, we have to come in the name of Jesus. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The Lord tells us that we need to ask Him in private. Matthew 6:5-6. "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." That doesn't mean you can't go to a public prayer meeting. It doesn't mean we can't all pray together. But it does mean that when we pray, we're not to pray in order for other people to hear us. We are to pray so that God hears us. That's the one we're speaking with, right? We're not praying to impress other people. We're praying to seek God's mercy. And interestingly enough, we are to be concise in our prayers. You know, Scripture says that the Lord is in heaven, we're on earth, therefore let your words be few. Jesus says not to use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do in Matthew 6:7-8. "And when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Sometimes we think we need to give God a full description, you know, before of He's going to answer our prayers. But we don't have to do that. God knows. We just simply need to ask for what it is. Now, the one thing that Paul emphasizes this morning is diligence in the duty of prayer. It is something God calls us to do. There are certain things that are involved in it. There are certain ways we need to do it. We know why and so forth. But the one thing he really emphasizes here is persistence. Be devoted to prayer. If we look up that word in some of the lexicons, it gives to us a little bit of further insight into what we're talking about here. The word means to occupy oneself diligently with, to pay persistent attention to be devoted to persevere in, to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of difficulty. In other words, something is in the way. Well, obviously, when we seek the Lord, the kind of thing that makes us seek the Lord the way that we're supposed to pray is adversity. And maybe that's why it comes directly after persevering in tribulation, which we saw last week. When tribulation comes, the next thing that happens in the Christian's life is I get on my knees and I devote myself to prayer. I mean, just look at your lives and look at when you pray most. It's when things are going, as it seems, against you. The heat's been turned up. You're going through some kind of a trial. You get on your knees because you know there's help at the throne of grace. But why don't we at other times? Well, it's because we don't feel our need as keenly at other times. But if we really understood our need, we would. And we would seek the Lord. Well, the Lord tells us this is how we are to pray. At all times, pray without ceasing. Be devoted to prayer. And we should not worry that God is going to get tired of us. I think sometimes we attribute our own reactions to things to God, and God doesn't react the way we do. I mean, think about, for instance, parents who have children that, you know, what is it the children do, especially when they're really young, all during the day, but they come and they say, can I have this, can I have that, can I have this, can I have that? And it's just constant, one thing after another, isn't it? But why do they ask us for so many things? It's because they're so dependent upon us for so many things. They need a lot of things from us, don't they? But we are dependent upon God, and we need to ask Him. But unlike, you know, our weakness as parents, God doesn't have that weakness. And He doesn't say, I'm tired of listening to you. Ask me for things. Get out of here. But He says, come. And He welcomes us when we come. He doesn't send us away, thankfully. Thankfully, the Lord doesn't have our weaknesses. He commands us to persevere in prayer and to keep coming to Him. And He even assures us that He will answer speedily so that we should not lose heart. So we need to devote ourselves to prayer. We need to realize that we need it. We don't realize how much we need prayer. Think about the things that we need and think about how prayer is the way we get it. Prayer is our source of godly direction and counsel. I mean, how do we seek God's will? Well, of course, we read the Word of God, but there are times when it's not so clear. As a matter of fact, a majority of the times, it's not just simply chapter and verse. The principles are here, but how do I apply them? How does it apply to this particular situation? What am I supposed to do, Lord? Well, the Lord says, ask, and I'll show you. And He does. Maybe not instantly, but oftentimes. He shows you the answer. He doesn't speak to you in audible words, but He does show you the answer, doesn't He? He guides you to the conclusion. Prayer is how we get spiritual strength. When we are weak, we cry out to God. God answers us. He gives to us the strength that we need. That's how we get it. There's other ways, but prayer is the most immediate way. It's the source of daily bread. I mean, even physical bread. Jesus taught His disciples in the Lord's Prayer what to pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. It's something we are to be praying for. I don't have the finances I need. I don't have the means to take care of myself. Have I prayed about it before I've gone around trying to take care of the situation myself? The Lord says we should pray. It's the means of our forgiveness. The Lord says as we are confessing our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We need to confess our sins to Him. Prayer is the way that we do that. It is the means that God uses to fulfill His word on earth, His will. You've heard the expression that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Well, that's true. And God has ordained that our prayers would be the means by which He brings His will about. And so He says, here's my word. See what it is that I want. This is what I want. Now pray for this. Pray that it will come about, because that is the way it's going to happen. Does that mean God isn't going to accomplish His will apart from prayer? Well, we don't put it quite in those terms. God has said, pray in order to bring these things about. Pray that I would do this. Jesus says, pray that God will raise up laborers to go into the fields for the harvest because it's already white into harvest. Does that mean He's not going to raise up laborers unless we pray? Well, in a certain sense, yes, right? Jesus said we need to pray to that end, especially in those days and even in our days. We need to pray God would raise up laborers. But God integrates that into His decree, into His plan, so that God responds to prayer. And He doesn't respond when there's no prayer, or sometimes He even responds apart from prayer, but that's all a part of His will. However, our duty is to pray. And generally speaking, God works in answer to prayer because that is His will. That is what He has ordained. And that's why we need to pray. Just look at the Lord's Prayer, where He says, you know, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is that going to come about? Jesus says, pray. And, of course, there's work that needs to be done, but we do need to pray. And so, I would exhort us all this morning to do what the Lord calls us to do, and that is devote ourselves to prayer. There's many different places we can pray. In our prayer closets. You know, if you don't have one, if you don't have a personal time of devotion, it doesn't mean you have to get into the closet, but you know what I mean. You have a personal time of prayer devotion. We need to do that. That's one of the ways we devote ourselves to prayer. In your family times of devotion and worship, devote yourselves to prayer. In public worship, we should devote ourselves to prayer. In our prayer meetings, you see, we have all these avenues by which we can pray. And we need to use those avenues. When God's people pray, He makes them a formidable force against the enemy. And I'm afraid when they don't pray, the enemy just walks all over us. We need to pray. And we need to be encouraged that when we pray, God will hear us. John Trapp once wrote, "God never denied that soul anything that went as far as heaven to ask for it." Again, James tells us we have not because we ask not. There's other reasons why we may not have it, but if we're not asking, that's the main reason. We need to ask the Lord, and the way we do that is in prayer. So let's devote ourselves to prayer. Well, let's bow for a word of silent prayer and make use of the time of silence. And let's seek the Lord and ask Him to help us to give ourselves to this the way that we should.